Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show. The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin. How's it going, everyone out there? This is the Roman Show MMA edition, and today is October the 12th, as we are getting, well, a little hungover of too much MMA this weekend in South Florida, in the country, and a lot of MMA around to talk about this evening. And as always, joining me, my co-host Guillermo Stoneface Garcia on the line. Guillermo?
Yeah, there's no such thing as too much MMA, Roman.
I guess. It's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to use here some sort of literacy type of thing, you know, trying to mix in like too much alcohol. But you're right, Guillermo. There's no such thing as too much MMA. As the Ultimate Fighter just concluded. Talking about the Ultimate Fighter, Guillermo, we're going to have Marcos Brimage tonight here as a special guest. He'll be calling in, telling us a little bit about his experience in the Ultimate Fighter competition. He was part of this season. He lost in his first fight, but he is here on the show. He'll be talking about his experience, what he felt, and he can't really tell us too much about his future, but he'll let us in a little secret or two. Also on tonight's show, we have Jorge Masvidal. We got an interview with him over the weekend here in South Florida. He is now scheduled to fight Gilbert Melendez for the lightweight championship belt in Strikeforce. That's in December, and I'm psyched about that fight because Jorge Masvidal, if you just wait till you listen to this interview, to what he has to say. I interviewed him on Sunday, and still, everything was all verbal agreement, so just wait till what he has to say about Gilbert Melendez. And also tonight, we have a very special guest, a person who will be calling us all the way from Indiana, Scott Blevins, whose nickname is Lionheart, or they better know him as Rudy, the Rudy of MMA. Scott Blevins, Guillermo, is an MMA fighter whose current record, according to Sherdog, is 0-17. He has yet to taste victory, but the Lionheart, well, is living up to his name. He is fighting, still searching for that victory, and from what he has told me, nothing is going to stop him, Guillermo. He is ready for battle despite the outcome. And tomorrow night, guys, at Miami Beach, I will be hosting Play Our Thursdays number 10. That is the amateur showcase featuring the $25,000 tournament. Tomorrow night is going to be exciting. Everybody's going to go out there in South Beach if you're in Miami. So make sure you, when you get an opportunity, call us live at 714-868-0222. 714-868-0222. Call in. I'll give you a pair of tickets. Also, Guillermo, this weekend, there's a big show down here in Coral Gables, a W1 show, which actually is going to be streaming on the internet, I was told. We got some free tickets for that, too. So call in to the Roman Show. We'll give you a pair of tickets to the W1 event down here in Coral Gables. Local fighter Luis Palomino will be on that card. Strikeforce veteran Kim Couture will be on the card, who we interviewed about two shows ago, Guillermo. And Guillermo, there's an article out there on thefightingnerd.com, or thefightnerd.com, I excuse myself, thefightnerd.com. I wrote an article there on last week's interview with Jason David Frank. Jason David Frank was a great interview, you would say, Guillermo?
Yeah, it was definitely entertaining.
No doubt about that. An actor turned into MMA. And talking about acting and MMA, there's a lot of pro wrestlers now switching to MMA. But there's a news this week where Brock Lesnar said that he still has one more match left in the World Wrestling Entertainment, and he is eyeing a battle against The Undertaker, perhaps. Because The Undertaker is the only wrestler that is undefeated in WrestleMania. So, if Brock Lesnar were to return, and if he were to sit down with Vince McMahon, he would ask, possibly, for that fight. Alright, guys, let's get this show on the road before we invite our guests. Here we go.
News of the day.
Alright, guys. The UFC pay-per-views now are going back to their old time, 10 p.m. This breaks the short stretch of starting the shows at 9 p.m. Officials say there was a sizable pay-per-view revenue decline in recent months. The time change will start in December with UFC 141 featuring Brock Lesnar versus Alistair Overeem. As mentioned before, it's official now. If Strikeforce lightweight champion Gilbert Melendez wants to go to the UFC, he needs to defend his title first against Jorge Masvidal. Both will be headlining a show on December 17th. Women's 145-pound champion Christine Cyborg Santos will be fighting Hiroko Yamanaka at that event. Also, just announced, there are verbal agreements that KJ Nunes will possibly face off against Billy Evangelista. And that fight actually was supposed to be scheduled when Strikeforce came down here to South Florida. A press conference is scheduled tomorrow at 1 p.m. The Texas-based Shark Fights promotion has announced a pair of championship bouts for next month's event. This includes for Shark Fights 21, featuring WWE wrestler and Strikeforce veteran Bobby Lashley versus Daryl Schoonover. Also, the heavyweight title will be on the line. Also, Tony Bonello versus David Roberts for the light heavyweight title. That's Shark Fights 21, takes place November 11th at Fair Park Coliseum in Lubbock. Also, MMA didn't do too well with the ratings this weekend on national cable television broadcast. UFC 136, UFC prelims of a special on Spike TV garnered an all-time series low with a 0.8 household rating and 1.0 million viewers. Bellator also did badly on MTV2. Only 103,000 viewers turned to see the program live. Bellator 53 faced stiff competition from UFC 135 and a full slate of NCAA football games, which likely had a major effect on the ratings. And Guillermo, do you remember Jose Canseco? Reality star, former baseball player, Texas Ranger. Ball bounced off his head and turned to a home run.
Yeah, one time MMA fighter against Hongman Choi where he got his butt whooped.
My boy Jose Canseco, he still thinks he can do it because he's back into combat fighting. Canseco has been booked to appear at a celebrity fight night event in November against Tariq Salih. Canseco's record stands currently at 1-2-1 draw. I guess his reality show and baseball money and snitching on the baseball players with steroids and growth hormones wasn't enough for his pocket, Guillermo. He wants that cash.
Yeah, he had financial troubles well before that, though, so I'm sure he's just trying to pay back some money at this point.
Yeah, all right. This weekend, Bellator, October 15th, takes place in Atlantic City in New Jersey. This is a card that will be featured on MTV2, Brian Rogers versus Alexander Shlemenko. Brian versus Vitor Viana, champ Zach Makovsky versus Ryan Roberts and Jacob Kirwan versus Rene Nassari. That's this Saturday, Bellator taking place live from New Jersey. All right, we had some breaking news here at the Roman Show, and it was featured actually on Facebook and on Twitter on Friday night, and we put up a YouTube video. Guillermo, you were there at the arena, the War Memorial Auditorium. when UFC veteran Dean Thomas was involved in a traffic accident that shattered his return to the cage. We were all notified just prior to the main event this past week at Fight Time 7, leaving the fans shocked and everyone on YouTube, on Twitter, on Facebook, just puzzled the future of Dean Thomas. That was very shocking, Guillermo.
Yeah, it was a shame because I was really looking forward to his return here to MMA, and I don't know how serious his injuries are at this point, but hopefully it's not enough to threaten the rest of his career. I'd like to see him get back in the cage, see what he's got.
No doubt about that. And guys, if you want to call in, 714-868-0222. We were all shocked when we were notified by CEO of Fight Time Promotions that Dean Thomas hadn't been involved in this accident. Now, earlier today, Dean Thomas actually posted a message on Facebook, and it seems to be very well. We are trying to get him here on the Roman Show to kind of speak to his supporters and fans. Now, this is what he wrote on Facebook. He said, "I want to thank everybody for their concern and comments to me. I truly appreciate the love from everybody." And he's giving away some T-shirts for his students, I guess, over there where he trains in ATT Port St. Lucie. So our prayers are with Dean Thomas. We had him here in the earlier shows of the Roman Show. We invite him. We want to hear his story. We want to hear his condition. Last we heard, we had some bumps and bruises. This is according to CEO of Fight Time Promotions, Mr. Howard Davis Jr., who was notifying us on his condition up to the moment and up to the minute as it happened. And I felt that silence at Fight Time 7, Guillermo, when that news was reported. Everyone was saddened, and Cedric James versus Walter Harris took the main event that night, which ended pretty quickly. I believe it was 22 seconds knockout by Walter Harris against Cedric James.
Right. 22 seconds, very quick. That was not the only fight that ended quickly that night either. Fight Times puts on some very exciting fights, and if you were there, you would have definitely enjoyed it, but definitely show up. Their season starts in February again, and they're selling season tickets for Fight Time.
That's right. Season tickets for Fight Time Promotions. You can purchase that on fighttimepromotions.com. The first show ends in February 17th to be exact. Hey, guys, we're on FaceTime right now. So if you have FaceTime, you got a Mac, you got an Apple, head on over. Just look for me, Rodolfo Roman. I am on FaceTime right now as we speak. And on Skype, RomanDH1. On Twitter, RomanDH. That's at RomanDH. Visit the website, RodolfoRoman.com. And the fan page on Facebook, Facebook.com/RodolfoRoman. And follow my man Guillermo on Twitter, at StoneFace. 16, am I right?
That's right. Stone-faced with a D at the end, you know. 16, that's right.
There you go. All right, let's get a quick preview here on a quick recap of what happened on the Ultimate Fighter episode here tonight, Guillermo. Guillermo, it's all yours.
Yep, so tonight was one of those special nights on the Ultimate Fighter where they actually had two fights, one bantamweight fight, one featherweight fight. And just like it's been going all season, Team Mayhem now 4-0 in fights against Team against Team Bisping. So right now Bisping's not too happy, feels the fighters not listening to his advice, and Mayhem's just bragging and Bisping's just not having a good time right now. So if you guys want to catch the replay, it's on at 1 in the morning this morning, and two very good, exciting fights today.
Anyone that's catching your attention on this season, Guillermo?
Well, I mean, I'm very excited to see these lower weight classes. From what I understand, like a lot of these guys, this may not be the only time you see them. Lately on The Ultimate Fighter, there's been a lot of weight classes that are already stacked, so maybe you only get one or two out of the 16 guys making it to the UFC apart from the champs. But with there being so few bantamweights and featherweights, you might see a lot of these guys get hired by the UFC, even if they don't win the show, so that they can fill the weight classes. So I advise everybody to watch this because these are guys that you might be seeing for a long time, just like we did with the season one and two participants of The Ultimate Fighter.
No doubt about that. And, boy, they were going pretty hard today. Now, Michael Bisping didn't show up to one of the selections of fights. I saw that, and that kind of felt disrespected by the fighters. So that's something that these fighters need to take into consideration, and I'm sure some of them were not pissed off. You got to love what Mayhem Miller did, though. He brought out one of those dummies dressed him up with a Bisping jersey, and that was quite funny.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, him's quite a joker, and there's already been quite a few pranks this season, and from what I've seen in previews, there's probably going to be a lot more.
All right, and Guillermo, to get the full scoop on that, right now we're going to contact Marcos Brimage, who was on The Ultimate Fighter. If you could just recall to our listeners here, tell us a little bit of Marcos Brimage and his appearance on The Ultimate Fighter, Guillermo.
Well, Marcos had a very, very great, a very, very good appearance in his preliminary bout. Just completely dominated the guy he was up against, make it into the house, knocked him out with no problem. But he had ground issues. Like, once you put him on his back, he had a lot of trouble, and he was, I believe, submitted. He was submitted in the first fight of the season once they made it into the house.
Well, we're going to reach out to Marcos right now as we speak, who he's actually training in American Top Team Coconut Creek. I saw him actually this weekend at the Fight Time 7 out there. He was actually cornering John Rivera. All right, Marcos Brimage on the line here at the Roman Show. Marcos, how you doing today, Marcos?
I'm good, man. How y'all feeling?
All right, pretty good. We can't complain. Marcos, first and foremost, welcome to the Roman Show. My co-host Guillermo Garcia on the line. Marcos, I want to first speak to you about this before we talk about The Ultimate Fighter, because you're very close to UFC veteran Dean Thomas, an American Top Team. You had told me in prior something about that you had heard from Dean Thomas. We're trying to reach out to him. We saw his post on Facebook, but what's his condition right now, Dean, from what you have heard?
From what I understand, that Dean actually checked out later on that night after the car wreck. He was able to check out, like, early, like, Saturday morning, like, around 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. He ought to be fine. I just think that, you know, he's just a little banged up from the accident, nothing major, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, a little soreness or whatnot. And I contacted him through Facebook, and we were supposed to be training together. But he just Facebooked me back and let me know that he will be up and active in the next few weeks, and he'll let me know for sure when he's ready. So I think right now he's just taking some time to heal up from the accident, and he'll be good to go. I'm telling y'all, man, Dean Thomas, he's old, but he's very spry. I know.
Yeah, Dean Thomas is definitely a fighter, and I'm sure he's just itching to get back into that cage, but... Yeah, according to the doctor's orders, he has to pay attention and heal his body. Well, you know, our prayers to Dean, and I'm sure we wish him Godspeed and to recuperate real fast to possibly not only have him on the show, but see him in the cage. Possibly possibly a Fight Time 8, Marcos. We'll love to see him in action at the War Memorial Auditorium. All right, Marcos, let's talk a little bit about the Ultimate Fighter season. Now, Marcos, you are known for a very comical incident that happened to you. In fact, you were on E's Talk Soup in one of the episodes. Can you just tell our listeners exactly what happened to you during this interview?
Well, it was during the pre-fight interview, and, you know, they the guys there was like, you know, be confident and talk to the camera and let us know your game plan. And to be nervous, to be honest with you, I was very nervous. I mean, you know, cameras all in your face all the time. You're in this big mansion. So during my pre-fight interview, I was nervous, and a fart just kind of slipped out. You know, it was just like, yeah, I'm here with knees. I'm here with elbows. Yeah, and then, you know, I'm just going to win the fight. Yeah, I just farted. You know, and I said, yeah, I just farted, because when I farted and I kept my face straight, The camera crew in the back was looking like, what the hell was that? Like, everyone started, like, looking at each other, like, did you hear that? It's like, yeah, I don't know, what was that? And then, just to clarify the situation, I was like, yeah, I just fought it.
So you made sure that you let them know that you released some gas on live TV. Now, did you know that was going to come out on TV?
I certainly did not. When I saw it, I was like, really? You couldn't cut that out? Really? Really? So, and, you know, everybody was blowing up my Twitter. Everyone was calling me, dude, did you just fire on TV? I'm like, look, man, it just happens, okay? No, you know. Everyone's like, man, that's disgusting.
Did you see it when it came out on Talk Soup? I mean, you were talk of the town, Marcos.
I have not seen it yet. You know, I don't have cable, so I didn't get a chance to actually see it. I've been trying to find it on the internet and everything, but I still haven't seen it, man. You gotta have to, somebody got DVR it or something so I can see it.
Well, let me just tell you, Marcos, if you go to YouTube right now, just part there, just type in there, Marcos Brimage farts on The Ultimate Fighter. That video has about 3,703 views. So.
Oh snap! I'm going major, baby. I'm going major.
your gas just made you famous.
Hey, you know what? Everybody's got to be known for something.
And Marcos, now currently, according to Sherdog, you're 3-1. You're out of Alabama. Now, what started you getting into the world of mixed martial arts?
Well, like I said in that same episode, is Quentin Rampage Jackson and Dragon Ball Z.
Now, how old are you right now, Marcus?
I'm 26.
You're 26. And do you have a wrestling background? Did you wrestle in high school or had some sort of training?
You know, Alabama, we know them for football, baby. And just a side note, I like to let everybody know that the Crimson Tide is number 2. Roll Tide, we can go ahead and take us another national championship. So just to let y'all know that, side note. But I did football and track while I was in high school.
And how long ago did you started in training into MMA?
In 2005, 2 years after high school while I was in college. I joined the Air National Guard right after high school. So one of my sergeants told me about this guy who does MMA because I was going to move to Atlanta to learn Muay Thai. So I hooked up with my coach, Christopher Conley, and we formed a group called Spartan Fitness, and I was training under them for the entire time until like 8 months ago when I had to leave to join American Top Team.
And how did that come about? What brought you to American Top Team?
Oh, because, you know, there's only like in my opinion, there's about 2 gyms right now, and that's American Top Team and Greg Jackson. So, and, you know, it was just an easy choice between American Top Team and Greg Jackson because, you know, Florida have beaches.
And it's not as cold over there as in Alabama, too.
Yeah, it gets cold. It gets cold. And I hate cold weather. It kind of pisses me off, like, when you have to run in the cold and the cold wind is piercing your lungs and your throat. But, man, boy, this Florida weather, I love it. It's always hot. I love the heat. Yeah, the beach is always have beautiful women around it. I mean, come on, man. There's no other place to be.
You can't go wrong with that. And, Marcos, now tell me how this World The Ultimate Fighter competition came about. How did you make your way in there?
Oh, well, honestly, this is my third time because I was supposed to be on the second 155 season. And with, you know, Julian Brown and Efren Escudero, I was supposed to be on that season, but I was sidelined due to injury. And I was supposed to be on the season with the U.S. versus the U.K., but again, injuries prevented me from going on the show. And then I finally finished school. Since I was injured, I went ahead and finished college, so I graduated from there. And then I took a fight against a UFC veteran, Kyle Bradley, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And, you know, it was he just got put out the UFC, and I was supposed to go there basically to get my ass whooped and, you know, get him his 3 fights so he'd get back in the UFC. But, you know, something happened. I ended up knocking him out. So that was, like, good for me. And just constantly training. No fights really came up. And then my manager called me and told me, yo, the Ultimate Fighter, you better go. And I just went.
Now do you send any tapes or do you just show up to these events? And what's the scene out there? If you could picture it and state to our listeners exactly how that works out in those first few days in this competition of the Ultimate Fighter.
Are you talking about like when you have to go in, you have to fight to get into the house? Are you
Correct.
Talking about that?
Yeah. To be part of the question, how does that work?
Well, you know, you have to showcase skill and you have to showcase personality because, you know, some guys are really good fighters, but, you know, this is TV. And if you don't have a personality, if you're quiet, if you just, you know, always focus on fights, they really don't look at you, because you have to, you got to entertain people as well, you know. Like Forrest Griffin, you know, he's funny. You know, say what you want about Forrest. He's a tough guy. He always comes in shape, and he's very funny. So that's the type of people that, if you want to be on the UFC, on the Ultimate Fighter, that's the type of people they want.
Right. Now, my co-host Guillermo Garcia is an avid mixed martial arts fan and follows the Ultimate Fighter religiously. Guillermo, you have a question for Marcus.
Yeah, Marcus, I don't know if you are allowed to say or not, but are you going to be on the Ultimate Fighter finale, or has the UFC released you? Are you allowed to say anything about that?
Honestly, I really don't know. I am open to be on the finale because, you know, I really would like to redeem my loss that I had on the show. But honestly, I do not know. It's just up in the air. It's just up in the air right now. But you better believe that I'm training like I got fight December 3rd.
Right, and also, could you talk a little bit more about the selection process that precedes the Ultimate Fighter? How do they go about choosing these guys to begin with? Do they interview you? Do you have to try out? What do you have to do?
Yes, well, the tryouts are crazy because you go there and you have to display a certain amount of skill within 2 minutes. And then you're like, are you serious? You know, 2 minutes? That's not enough time for someone to, you know what I'm saying, just capture what you have to offer in 2 minutes. So that's why in that 2 minutes you have to go balls to the walls and, like, make sure everything's good. Like, you know, people used to come in there with choreographed tie pad drills. You know what I'm saying? Just makes you look good, makes you look flashy. And the ground proportion, you got to make sure you're tapping people out. Crazy, man. I mean, to me, it's not enough to show people what you have to offer. But, again, there are so many people there. I mean, oh, my God, there's so many people that's all they could allow you to do. So that's why you got to make every second count during those trials.
Well, Marcus, well, I understand you have another commitment you have to do. You're going to be on Jay's show on Cage Radio, Cage Junkies Radio, so shout out to Jay out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing a different role now. It's kind of late. Tell me your training. How does that work out with you, Marcus? Your
You talking about just training in general with ATT?
That's right.
Oh, man, it's crazy. When I first got there, it felt like high school again because there's so much going on that I was getting lost. I was just like, okay, do I come to this class? No, how about this class? I'm so used to someone, like, telling me, hey, you need to go here, 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 and here. And then when you get there, it's like a whole bunch of people running around. It's like jiu-jitsu going on over here. There's wrestling going on over here. There's gi jiu-jitsu going on over here. There's Thai boxing going on over here. There's boxing going on over there. And it's like, whoa, hey, hold on. It was like overwhelming at times, you know. And, I had to get over the language barrier because, you know, there's a lot of Brazilians at American Top Teams. And when they try to instruct you, you have to, like, really pay attention to what they're saying because, you know, that, like, some of them don't have a good English, and my Portuguese sucks. So, you know, I'm just like, did you tell me to punch from my right or left? You know, they're skeevy, skeevy, skeevy. Does that mean dodge? You know, you just, after a while, you just start to get in sync with them, and it goes, like, great. I mean, after a while, like, Laborio has been showing me some crazy stuff on the ground. Master Cattell, off the chain Thai boxing. Kami has been helping me a lot with my wrestling. And then my peers have also helped me a lot, too. Like, you know, not the teachers, but the actual students in the class. We, like, meet up. Hey, what you doing at 3:30? Oh, man, ain't doing nothing. Hey, man, let's get rolling at 3:30. Hey, I'm good at jiu-jitsu, but your boxing's off the chain. So we'll roll for an hour, and then I can show you some boxing for an hour, you know? It's very good, the knowledge that American Top Team has. It's beautiful.
Wow. Well, Marcos, thank you so very much for calling in, and you're always welcome to call into the Roman Show. We'll leave you now. And again, shout out to Jay, who's going to have his show shortly on Cage Junkies Radio. Marcos, thanks so much, and good luck to you in the rest of the season at The Ultimate Fighter, and we hope to see you fight soon on TV again.
Yeah, that is what's up. Can I give a shout-out right quick?
Go right ahead and mention your Twitter, too. I want people to follow you and get to know what you're doing.
Oh, okay. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to God, because without him, we're nothing. I want to give a shout-out to my guard unit, the 117th Air Refueling Wing in Birmingham, Alabama. Security Forces, what's up? I'd like to give a shout-out to all my friends and family back in Alabama. My first MMA home, Spartan Fitness. My new MMA home, American Top Team. And Roll Tide, baby, we're number two. We're going to take that number one spot. And also, holler at your boy on Twitter, Bram205. And also, Xbox Live, Bram205. I'm about to go home, and after I do this interview, going to get on some Halo Reach. So if anybody want to get two to the dome right quick, go ahead and holler at your boy, man.
All right, Marcus. We'll go ahead and take care of yourself and have some. And good luck on Halo. I don't play video games, but good
luck. Man, you got the game up, baby. We play Halo, man, real talk. You got me?
The only video games I know is Angry Birds, and that's because I get it on my phone.
Oh, come on. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Marcus, thanks so much, man. You have a good night.
You too. Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you, Marcus. Oh, Guillermo, nice interview there with Marcus Brimage of The Ultimate Fighter. He's a contestant out there. Wow, it took him some time till he finally got on the show. He had to deal with some injuries.
Yeah, absolutely. Injuries are always a part of a fighter's life. You know, it's a very rough sport, very hard training. You know, and luckily for him, he finally got past those and was able to make an appearance on the show. And hopefully this leads him to bigger and better things in MMA.
Yeah, it's very difficult. By the way, I just want to make this announcement here. I've just been notified that Eddie Alvarez will be fighting Michael Chandler. This is slated for Bellator 58. Again, Eddie Alvarez will be fighting Michael Chandler for Bellator 58. Last I read, Eddie Alvarez was actually recuperating from an injury. But according to this article here, it says Eddie Alvarez will defend his Bellator lightweight belt November 19th against wrestling powerhouse and top contender Michael Chandler in Hollywood, Florida. So that's down here in South Florida. So let me tell you, and you and me are going to be out there at this event, God willing. Hector Lombard is also going to fight on that same card. So that card is going to be phenomenal for South Florida and for the MMA community to have two powerhouses like Eddie Alvarez and Hector Lombard on that card.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be another tough night, though, because that's the same night as a UFC event in San Jose. So, you know, it's going to be hard for fans to decide which one to watch, but I'm looking forward to both. Definitely.
That's right. And November 19th at San Diego, is that the Kung Lee?
Yeah, that's the Kung Lee. That's the Shogun Dan Henderson. Kung Lee against Vanderlei Silva. So, yeah, it's going to be a big night of MMA. You know, like I always do, I always DVR the Bellators and watch the UFCs live. But, you know, it's gonna be tough because we have a chance to actually go to the Bellator event this time around. So, it's going to be a hard choice for fans down here in the South Florida area.
Well, that's what we got Ustream. All right, Guillermo, if people want to call in, all the listeners out there, 714-868-0222. We are in shortly. We will be calling in the Lionheart all the way from Indiana, Scott Belvins, who has not won an MMA fight, but is still persistent on reaching his goal and being in the sport. But before we move forward, we want to let you in on this exclusive interview with Jorge Masvidal, George Masvidal, a local fighter who will be fighting Gilmer Melendez in December for the light heavyweight championship belt in Strikeforce. George Masvidal has pretty much come from the bottom to the top. He started in the streets. Now he entered a cage, and he has had lots of success. Jorge Masvidal enters this fight after defeating KJ Nunes, annihilating KJ Nunes. Here's what Jorge Masvidal had to say this weekend.
Rafa Roman here for the Roman Show with George Masvidal, getting ready for his upcoming bout. Nothing has been said yet, but I mean that's what's rumored, or that's what has been said by word, but nothing has been signed. You'll be facing Gilbert Melendez in December for the title. George, how are you feeling so far in your training this time around?
I feel ready to whoop his ass, man. I'm gonna whoop his ass, man.
Gilbert, you've been wanting this for a very long time. You've been at this sport for quite some time. It's your big opportunity, big shot. How different is this match compared to all the other fights aside that the title's on the line?
The title on the line is a little cherry on top, you know, but it's just, you know, the chance to prove how good I am. And to go out there and compete, you know, which is what I love to do at the end of the day. I love to go out there and compete, get in shape, know that I'm in good shape, and fight. You know, I'm not taking this fight in 3 weeks' notice. I've had proper time to prepare, so I'm going to go out there and do what I like to do, compete, you know, and kick ass doing it, you know?
Well, we don't know yet because there's been rumors and or they have been said that they're going to put Melendez in the UFC and so forth. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, what are your thoughts if this were to happen?
Well, if they put Gilbert in, then I guess I end up fighting another guy, which it sucks for me because I go from fighting the number one guy in the world to fighting who knows who else I'd end up fighting, you know? And I wouldn't get no immediate title shot in the UFC, obviously. So, I mean, you know, whatever. To me, it really don't matter, man. As long as I get to fight, man. I want to really, really fight Gil, but if they take that fight away from me, I know I'm going to end it either against him or whoever gets the belt, I'll end up getting up there, you know?
And tell me about Melendez, because both of you guys can bang. Both of you guys are hard-hitting, stepping your stand-up game.
Gil, you know, he's tough. I think he's got cardio, and that's it, man. That's all. I'm not trying to put a knock on him or nothing. You know, all I think he's got is cardio, and that's it. I don't care about anything else he does, you know. And tell you the truth, I never care about what my opponents do. I train me, and that's it. I just go out there and compete, you know.
Now, tell me about out here, who are you training with right now? Your American Top Team Coconut Creek?
Yes, sir. American Top Team Coconut Creek all day, man. That's my gym right there. You know, I migrate up there about an hour to get there, an hour to get back, but that's my gym, man, always.
So who are you training with right now? You're training Alexis Villa from Bellator, Lombard?
Lombard, Villa, you know, the regular squad. You know, all my guys up in the American Top Team, Nathan Coy, my boy Kobe as well, Cammy Barsini, the head wrestling coach up there. You know, we got a good squad, man. It's a good squad. Bubba Jenkins, too. We got a real good squad of fighters up there, man.
You been training out of South Florida, or you been just training here?
No, not too much. Oh, everything in Florida for now.
Everything in Florida.
Yeah.
All right, George, well, thank you so much. And if that fight happens, man, good luck. I know you're going to represent it very well.
You know it, man. I'm not going to represent. I'm going to bring that title back, man.
There you go, George. Thank you so much.
Well, those were the words of Jorge Masvidal as I interviewed him on Sunday. This is prior to the announcement, the official announcement, that Masvidal will be fighting Gilbert Melendez. And Masvidal is very smart with his mouth, Guillermo. He's a very good talker, and he likes to build up the hype, especially within this fight right now that he's fighting for the title. In fact, I remember one day where he fought Luis Palomino, and he actually lost that fight via a unanimous decision. Or it might have been split decision. And he told me in the back room that, wow, I didn't know you win matches by running away. So I can just anticipate the stuff that Jorge Masvidal is going to be saying at this press conference on Thursday at 1 p.m. tomorrow. I'm so tuning into that one, Guillermo.
Yeah, he's got his hands full here with Gilbert Melendez. I mean, Melendez is currently ranked number 2 on SureDog in the world. And to go against what Masvidal said, he's got a little bit more than cardio. He's got amazing striking ability, very, very underrated wrestling. We don't see a lot of his submissions, but I guarantee you working with Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz and Jake Shields, and he's definitely got submissions as well. So, I mean, it's a huge opportunity for Masvidal. Hopefully he doesn't become a deer in the headlights and, like, you know, be overwhelmed by the moment. Hopefully he comes out and gives his best, win or lose.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will. He's looking great in shape, might I add. The guy is looking great in shape. This Sunday, he was cornering one of the fighters out there, and you know, one of the managers approached him and said, you know, how are you looking? The guy pulled out his shirt. He had abs. He looks great, you know. We can definitely see the change in his presence compared to when he fought in Bellator and when he got caught in that gruesome inverted triangle. We all remember that one, Guillermo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably the top highlight in Bellator history. Unfortunately, as of right now, most people know him because of that. Hopefully, if he beats Gilbert, he'll be known for a different thing, you know.
Yeah, and Gilbert Melendez, I remember we met him during the Strikeforce event when they came down here to South Florida. Very nice guy.
Yep.
The guy is unstoppable. The guy can bang. Masvidal is more of a patient fighter. He's not going to attack you like Gilbert Melendez. So very curious to see what's going to happen in that fight come this December. So in order for Melendez to escape Strikeforce and move on to UFC, he has to get through Masvidal. Now, Guillermo, if Melendez were to lose to Masvidal, I mean, that's going to be not only a big shocker, but wow, where would they put the UFC after they say that, oh, we want Melendez to come up here and fight Frankie Edgar?
I still think the Strikeforce is going to fold into the UFC. I mean, if Melendez were to beat Masvidal, I think he'd get an immediate title shot in the UFC. If he were to lose, he'd still be, you know, in the top 10 and maybe two or three wins away from a title shot in the UFC anyway. But for Masvidal, I mean, he's basically not even in the top, maybe even 20 in the world right now. If he could beat Gilbert Melendez, he can get in the top 10. He could be two to three fights away from a UFC title shot if he can get a victory. So
yeah.
I think either way, both of these guys are going to end up in the UFC. Strikeforce, in my opinion, is going to be done within 6 months.
All right. I want to plug in Monday's pro wrestling show where my co-host El Electrico will be on. He has a couple of words to say, El Electrico. So you want to make sure you tune in this Monday at 11 p.m. here on The Roman Show. And our guest is going to be Chris Quinones, promoter of CWE in West Palm. He's going to be promoting his show for November 11th. And Michael Mannix will be calling in, local independent pro wrestler. And again, El Electrico has some stuff to take off his chest. He needs to vent. Not affiliated with The Roman Show, but he has some stuff to say. So you want to make sure you tune in on Monday night. And we have the Halloween costume going on. So please send in your pictures dressed up as your favorite pro wrestler. Email it to RomanDH@yahoo.com. We will post those pictures through the little slideshow when you watch our program. And we will choose the winner and we will send you out a nice little gift. And guys, we're giving away free tickets to the W1 show this Saturday in Coral Gables. Just go ahead and tweet me at RomanDH. Just write in there, I listened to The Roman Show. Or Facebook me at Rodolfo R. Roman. Look me up and just write there, I listened to The Roman Show. And I'll give you a pair of tickets to the W1 show this Saturday in Coral Gables. And we're giving away tickets for tomorrow's Five Time Promotions Player Thursday's number 10. That will be Cage announcing and featuring the $25,000 tournament. You coming out tomorrow, Guillermo, or are you busy?
I'm thinking about it. I'm not sure yet. I got to see how my plans work out. But anytime I can make it out there, it's always a fantastic time. You know, MMA, I love it. And so every time I get a chance to go to a show, it's a pleasure. So I would love to go, but got to see how plans work out.
Yeah, and they have a lot of fights tomorrow. We have 8 scheduled fights tomorrow night. Definitely going to be exciting. And you know, when you put $25,000 on the line, man, that just makes you really, really hungry. You know what I mean? So I know these guys are definitely looking for that 25 grand and a contract to Fight Time Promotions to fight the following year. All right, Guillermo, from here on and now, we move on to another interview, as we always do here on The Roman Show.
Roman Show exclusive interview.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the line now, all the way from Indiana, we have Scott Linehard Blevins. Scott is on the line.
Hi, Roman.
Calling us from Indiana. All right, Scott, how are you, sir? Scott, I want to introduce you first. Scott is an MMA fighter, all the way
That's
from
correct.
Indiana. He has trained with such names as Mark Coleman and so many other UFC fighters. And Mark has been featured in several MMA websites. He has a story behind him. In fact, in 2009, he was charged with child molestation, but the charges have been dropped. The judge considered that he is not guilty of those charges. He is free. But that's besides the point. And the real story and the real reason why I decided to bring in Scott to the program is because he is an MMA fighter. He started back in 2004. And as of right now, although he has been training hard, his record, according to Sherdog, stands at 0-17. He has been knocked out. He has been submitted. He has been TKO'd. But nothing has stopped this man from entering the cage and seeking another victory. In fact, he has been hurt numerous times. He has been in the hospital. And a lot of his fans and families, or friends actually, not too supportive of his career, but he still proceeds to enter the cage. Scott, welcome to The Roman Show.
Hi, Roman. How are you?
Good, sir. Thank you so very much for calling in. Scott, first and foremost, I just want to ask, why proceed with MMA if so far, unfortunately, hasn't been too well for you?
It's just a desire. As you've been saying, I started my career in 2004, and I wanted to build a better daughter-father relationship in the beginning. As it proceeded, I have lost a lot of fights. I've fought a lot of great fighters, and it's just a passion I have. I don't just give up that easy. Seems like every time that I have taken a loss, here I come back again, and I come back again and again. And the thing is, you might be able to knock me out, submit me, might be able to body slam me, break me in half, whatever it may be in the cage. But the thing is, I want to get back up, and I want to live on, and I want to come back into that cage.
Now, you fight at featherweight, right, Scott?
I fight at featherweight, and I fight at bantamweight.
Now, you walk, though, at about 130, 125 pounds, so you don't even have to cut weight, no?
Yes, I don't cut weight at all, actually, when I compete.
Wow. So, when you enter this cage, Scott, and a lot of people, it happens to anyone. It's just a particular MMA. But when you're not doing too well at something that you have a desire for, a passion for, you're very frustrated and you feel down on yourself. What inspires you to go in there? And do you work aside from doing the MMA stuff? Do you work? Do you have a full-time job?
No, I don't have a full-time job. I committed my whole life to doing mixed martial arts. I actually own a team, but during midst of training and trying to get their things gathered together. But I've always remained into the sport. I promote it. I fight it. I dream it. I speak of it pretty much daily. So. It's just a desire, passion that I'm intrigued of doing. I was more afraid of being a nobody than a somebody.
And I've noticed there on your Facebook, you definitely have a strong following. You have over 4,000 fans that like your Facebook page. So you're definitely a well-known name over there. As you're titled as the Rudy of MMA. And you were telling me that you have been in talks with the UFC, Scott.
Yes, I have.
And despite the record, you have spoken to the UFC.
Yes, I have spoken with Dana. I have talked to Joe Silva, and also I have spoken with Sean Shelby from Strikeforce. I did a big magazine in South Florida in August of 2011 in MMA Times magazine. And the deal with Dana was that I do an overhaul over my old record, an 80% pull, and should I do that, then I will receive my UFC contract. So since now Indiana is sanctioned, my record has recently, restarted to an 0-1 record on the sanctioned record. My 0-11 was unsanctioned, stated by the Indiana Boxing Commission. However, Sure Dog does so 0-17, which you cannot add two numbers from different websites together. People are thinking 0-13 or 0-30, somewhere around that number, but reality is you got to go by what the Boxing Commission says.
And now, Scott, and if anyone wants to call in to speak to Scott, the number to call is 714-868-0222. That's 714-868-0222. Now, in fact, I have a caller on the line. I think we want to take this. Let's see. Carter, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Howard Davis.
Hey, Mr. Howard Davis. Scott, if you could...
Hey, I'm Rodolfo. We just came out of Renegades, and I apologize for being so late.
No worries.
But we just came out of Renegades.
No worries, CEO of Fight Time Promotions, Mr. Howard Davis Jr. Howard, the latest on Dean Thomas.
Dean Thomas is okay. He came out with two fractured ribs, a bruised back, and kind of bruised up in the face. But he's going to be okay. And I spoke to him today. And his spirit's a little down. But, he'll recover.
And Howard, do we know exactly how this accident happened? What happened?
You know something, Mike? That's one thing. One of the things I forgot to ask. I didn't ask him how, what happened. But one of his trainers said that he hydroplaned. It was, you know, it was really storming out there Friday, and it was really bad storm, rainstorm. And sometime in a rainstorm, you hydroplane. And from what I heard and what his trainer told me, he hydroplaned and he just lost control of the car.
Wow.
It hit a pole.
It hit a pole. Wow. Well, yeah. The good thing is, Howard, that he is good. And hopefully, God willing, we could see him at Fight Time 8, Howard.
Yeah, well, you know, our next show is February 17th, 2012. And, you know, I haven't spoke to him about him fighting on our show in February. I didn't want to talk to him about, you know, fighting at all. I just wanted to make sure that he was okay mentally, spiritually, and physically. And with time, you know, all things heal. So I'm just going to give him time. And I'm more concerned about his mental and physical well-being than him fighting on the show.
Right.
But everything in due time.
Right. Well, Howard, thank you so very much for that update. And we will see you tomorrow night at Club Play South Beach in Miami Beach for the Play Hard Thursdays number 10 featuring the $25,000 tournament. That's amateur MMA. Howard, we're ready for tomorrow, sir.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Thank you, Howard.
Good luck, Howard.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so very much. Thank you. Scott, sorry about that. We were trying to get that scoop there as far as Dean Thomas, who was involved in a car accident last weekend. As you heard Mr. Howard Davis, Jr., CEO of Fight Time Promotions, saying that he slammed a car into a pole on his way to the Fight Time 7 as he was scheduled to fight in the main event of the program, George Shepard. So we're getting the scoop there. Dean Thomas smashed his car into a pole on the way to Fight Time 7 to fight George Shepard. He is okay. He has a couple of bumps and bruises, but we hope to see him possibly inside the cage. Scott, sorry about that. So speaking about this whole injury stuff, I was reading an article I pulled out that you were injured. And despite that, because you don't have any medical insurance, you don't have any sort of hospitality as far as when it comes to doctors. So how do you manage to pay this stuff if local promotions really don't pay that much when it comes to these local fights?
Actually, my hospital bills are still, you know, building up. A lot of them don't get paid. Now when I start getting more fights, then I can distribute a lot of those, you know, the funds out to a lot of my medical bills. I've had a lot of injuries. I've had my nose broke, my chin glued shut, my sternum's been broken, my appendix and my gallbladder has shut down. I had to have a double emergency surgery. So, you know, the bills do count up eventually throughout this career.
And now how old are you now, Scott?
I am 33.
And you have a daughter?
Yes, I have a daughter. She is now 13 years old.
Now, you say that you fight to build a relationship of your daughter and yourself. How so? How are you trying to glue your relationship with your daughter through fighting?
Well, when I kicked off doing my career in 2004, we started in Taekwondo, and she was around age 6 or 7 or so, and she started doing tournaments in the region with me. She's a two-time region karate champion under the ATA and the UTTF, and she holds a yellow belt, and myself is a four-time region champion. I hold a brown belt in TKD myself, and I'm also a two-time weapon champion in nunchucks. So I wanted to build a better relationship because all I kept on hearing was more of a mom, of a want, and never ask of a dad's need or his, you know, say in a matter of, you know, for the attention span for a child. I never felt that. Connecting, you know, the connect between me and my daughter. So we just kind of, we went with that route with the Taekwondo
because it was something we did together.
Wow. Well, my call is Guillermo Garcia. Guillermo, do you have a question for Scott?
Yeah, Scott, I mean, your losing streak here, do you attribute that to a lack of training, just facing better opponents, being deficient in wrestling or jiu-jitsu? What do you attribute it to, really?
Well, I feel that I do need a little bit more training time in a gym. Finding a correct gym that is sufficient for the Brazilian jiu-jitsu and wrestling would be more benefit for me than to continue a standard gym, basically.
Wow. And now, do you think, though, Scott, that now do you train on your own? Were you trained by a sensei? Were you trained by someone else, by a master, prior to going inside the cage?
And starting my career, I was training with 10-time world champion Susan Cottle through the American Taekwondo Association and under Grand Master Song Hong Lee. And I bettered my career through going to a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym, which was Total Jiu-Jitsu. There I started training with Jason Fox, and then I just kind of maneuvered on to start training at another gym, and I started training in Carlson Gracie Jr. style, because the original gym was a Royal Gracie. I have trained with Renzio. A lot of people question and say it was Rocky. Well, it was never Rocky. Blake Bowman from The Ultimate Fighter kind of dictated that in one of my fights from LFC. But, you know, it's just this whole career is just, you know, what it is. I maneuver as much as I can into different gyms, and I've trained in Baja Brazil in Jiu-Jitsu through David Sumter, and he was a Marine Black Belt. And then I started training with Kevin Lee Bronson, which is a 2-time World Hall of Famer.
So, and Scott, what age did you enter the cage? When was your first fight?
I would think about 2006 would have been my first amateur fight, because I didn't go professional until 2007.
Mm-hmm. So, Scott, my last question here, when is the end for you? If you keep going on this losing streak, do you have a limit, or are you just going to keep going to, well, you know, God decides to, hey, that's it for you, you're done?
That's my intentions. This January is going to be almost 8 years into my career. My fighting license, I don't suspend it until 2013. However, I'm going to run out my license through my national ID. And after that, I think I'm going to probably hang my gloves up, I think.
Okay, and your last fight was in April against George Elliott. He submitted you via rear naked choke. And do you have an upcoming fight soon?
I'm still working on a show. I'm trying to fight Chris Johnson. They call him the violent offender. I've called him out. I've called out New Breed, Eric Kosh. Of course, I fought Chico Kumas out of Wisconsin, Rufus, shortly after I fought Chico. Chico made it to Bellator. Now they're saying that, you know, because of that fight, I favored and padded his record, which is pretty much actually something that took place. But, you know, I'm still working on the show, and it's a biding time.
Gotcha. Well, Scott, thank you so very much for calling in. And you can follow Scott on Facebook. You can just look him up on Scott Lionheart Blevins. Do you have a Twitter too, Scott?
Yes, I do. I'm at Indiana's Rudy.
Indiana's Rudy. That's all you got to look for on Twitter. That's at Indiana's Rudy. Well, Scott, thank you so very much for calling in. And we appreciate you sharing your story. Very touching and very inspirational for some, because some of the fighters listening in could possibly be on your same route, but needless to say, you're hungry for what you want, and we wish you good luck with it and your future endeavor, sir.
Roman, thank you so much. Shout out to my fans. Thank you. God bless, and thanks for all the support.
Thank you so very much, Scott, and good night over there in Indiana.
Thanks, Roman. Have
a nice
night.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Guillermo, a very packed show tonight. We had Scott Lionheart Blevins, Marcos Brimage, who competed in The Ultimate Fighter, and we have a special exclusive interview with Jorge Masvidal. Your thoughts on today's show, Guillermo?
Yeah, it was an excellent show. I mean, there's still a few interviews that you've got, like Hector Lombard and a few others, which we haven't even shared with you guys, so we'll be looking forward to sharing that with you guys here in the upcoming shows.
That's
and
right.
And we didn't even talk about the UFC this past week.
We
didn't
still
even
got
a
few minutes. I got a surprise for you, Guillermo. I extended the show to about 30 minutes more.
What I've been telling you to do for weeks.
Not that we're going to stay 30 minutes more, but let's talk UFC 136. What an amazing card. Frankie Edgar knocking out Gray Maynard in an unexpected fashion because no one saw that coming. You saw Maynard destroying Frankie in the first round, and in comes Frankie with his heart that he has and knocks out Maynard to retain his belt. What a phenomenal fight, Guillermo.
Yeah, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Maynard's, and Frankie's not exactly known for knocking out people. He's basically won mostly decisions in his UFC career. He had one submission against Matt Veitch. So, and Maynard, a guy who's never even lost before, who would have thought that would have happened? I mean, that was totally unexpected. After the first round, Maynard dominating, you never would have thought that Frankie would knock him out in the fourth. But if you looked at the fight metric for that fight, Gray landed more punches in the first round than he did in the second, third, and fourth round combined. I think Maynard was haunted a little bit by what happened in their first title fight, where he gassed out after the first round. So he kind of, stepped off the accelerator in the second, third, fourth round, and Frankie made him pay for it.
No doubt. And then we also had Jose Aldo and Kenny Florian. Some are saying that Kenny's future is up in the air, could possibly be retiring, Guillermo.
Well, yeah, I mean, Kenny's a great fighter. I mean, he like Dana White said, he's got a job with UFC as long as he wants it. The thing is, a lot of people, especially top fighters like him, their philosophy is, if you're not fighting to win the title, what are you fighting for? And he's already lost two times for the title at 155. He's lost now at 145. There's no way he's going to be able to cut to 135. And it makes no sense for him to go up to 170. And so it just doesn't look like he's going to get another title shot in his career. So if you're not fighting to get the title, what are you fighting for? I mean, all he would be fighting for is for, maybe his legacy, maybe for a little bit more money, and maybe that's not good enough. Or maybe it's time for him to hang it up if he's not fighting for the title. But congratulations to Jose Aldo. Fought a very tactical fight. A lot of people might not sound like a compliment. They might sound like he was fighting safe, but I think a lot of that has to do with Florian. He came out with a game plan which kind of like had Aldo thinking he couldn't pull the trigger as much as he normally would because he had the fear maybe getting taken down. So, I mean, Aldo still won the fight, and we'll look forward to this fight with Chad Mendes.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about the other fight we had with Garcia and Nam? Boy, those guys could just go all out. Huh? They always give us a great fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Garcia, every fight that I've ever seen him in has just been a wild slugfest. I mean, you go all the way back to his original UFC fight against Roger Huerta, one of the best fights I've ever seen. And then you see the first war against Chan Sung-jung, the Korean zombie. And then, even the fight where he lost by the twister to Chan Sung-jung, that was an exciting fight up until that twister ending, which is also memorable. And then, of course, his two clashes with Nam Pham. Garcia doesn't put on a boring fight ever, even though he's lost three in a row now. I think if he keeps on playing his exciting style, he'll always have a job with the UFC. And Pham, I mean, he was a standout on The Ultimate Fighter. I think it was one or two seasons ago. And he's got a lot of talent. And I just say that he'll be like a gatekeeper type of guy. I don't think he'll ever be champ, but I think he's a solid player in the UFC's featherweight division.
No doubt. And, hey, guys, the number to call is 714-868-0222. Again, we're giving out free tickets to W1 show this weekend in Coral Gables, Florida, and tomorrow night at Club Play South Beach, Play Our Thursdays number 10, featuring amateur MMA. All right, Guillermo, one final thought. We still got GSP versus Condit. Dana White said that if Diaz wins against BJ Penn, he will be the next in line to take on, if GSP wins the belt, of course, he will be in line for the next welterweight title shot. Your thoughts on that after Dana White got ticked off at Nick Diaz for not showing up to a press conference or two?
Well, Dana White, you know, he gets angry at people. He forgives them. Look at Tito Ortiz. I mean, yeah, you know, like, he, you know, there's a lot of situations where Dana's blown up on people, and yet, you know, he forgives them. I mean, even to a certain extent, even though he kind of doesn't have as much to do with this, Paul Daly, you know, he kicked him out of the UFC, yet now that UFC owns Strikeforce, you still find Paul Daly fighting in Strikeforce. He didn't just go out of his way and fire him. So, I mean, you never know with Dana White. You know, time heals, you know, all wounds, and, like, basically that's what happens to Dana over and over. Sometimes he overreacts as well. But, hey, how about your boy Chael Sonnen, man? Like,
my boy Chael Sonnen stepped up. You saw him. He called out Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva's camp said that Chael Sonnen was very disrespectful by offending his wife. But you know what? I think Chael Sonnen is going to win this time around. I have a lot of faith in my boy. And I think that come Super Bowl weekend, like he said, he wants to fight either Anderson Silva loses the belt or he goes. So he put up a stipulation, Guillermo. And I think Chael Sonnen is going to keep to his word and possibly do the impossible by defeating Anderson Silva.
Well, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that fight as well. Hopefully it happens Super Bowl weekend. Of course, Anderson's recovering from a shoulder injury. But, you know, that fight will happen sooner or later. I mean, Chael showed that he's definitely capable of beating Anderson Silva the last time. Of course, Silva makes excuses that he had a rib injury, you know, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I don't think either way, whether he did have a rib injury or not, I think Chael would still have taken him down over and over and over again. And I believe that can still happen here. The thing is, Chael, I mean, I've looked at his record. He's never been knocked out before. He just gets submitted over and over again. And, that's the hole that he's got to plug up. I know he's got a new jiu-jitsu trainer, so he's got to shore up that submission defense, because that's really the one gaping hole in his game that's existed throughout his career. I believe 9 out of his 11 losses have been by submission. So if he can take care of that and just take down Anderson Silva the way he did the last time, he should be able to win because he's never been knocked out before. And Anderson couldn't knock him out the last time. Heck, he even dropped Anderson in the last fight.
Well, you know what? That's just the one mistake that the wrestlers do. We know what they always shoot in. They never know what to expect. And sometimes get caught in the guillotine.
Submission
and so
defense
forth.
Has always been the thing with wrestlers. You go back as far as like Mark Coleman, the original ground and pound wrestler. His problem was always getting submitted. He got submitted by Fedor twice by armbar. He got submitted by triangle armbar by Nogueira. You know, wrestlers always have problem with takedown with the submission defense. If they could just plug that up. I mean, they could be so dominant, and I believe in Chael. I mean, he did great. He showed off his submission skills for the first time in a long time against Brian Stann, but Brian Stann is nothing compared to Anderson submission-wise, so he's got to work on that even more here coming up with this rematch.
No doubt. All right, guys, tune in next week. Guillermo, that's about wraps it up for us. We did 7 minutes more. We can't go wrong with that. It's a bit too late here. It's already October the 13th in Miami, Florida. So, Guillermo, we're ready to go. We're ready. And next week, tune in. We have an exclusive interview with Alex Caceres, better known as Bruce Leroy, and so many other guests. You have to tune in. Follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/RodolphoRRoman. Visit the website, RodolphoRoman.com. And Guillermo, follow me on Twitter at StoneFace16. Guillermo, we'll see you next week. Same time, same date, Wednesday at 11 p.m. And tune in for the Pro Wrestling Show every Monday at 11 p.m. Good night, Guillermo.
Good night.
All right, my man. We'll see you next Wednesday, guys. Good night.
You are about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.